This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be back in Liverpool. I was here for 4 years in the 70s at college and university. I did my teaching practice in Liverpool 8, which is probably why I'm now a police officer. So there we go. My challenge is to do citizen focus towards 2012 in about 10 minutes. So a bit of Andy's style here, a bit of pin back your ears, and hopefully I'll be able to give you the challenges that I think we face over the coming years. And bearing in mind 2012, Olympic year, will we win a gold medal? Will we actually get confidence levels to rise nationally, watch in Merseyside, because you have a target that's higher than the national target, from 45% where it was to 60% by 2012? And that needs all 43 forces to work together on the confidence agenda. The good thing is the position is now 50% nationally, which means we are above trajectory, and in running terms, we're ahead of the pacemaker. So that is really positive. The interesting thing with this, which the police service is very much used to sprinting, we love getting to things, doing it and delivering it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a marathon, not a sprint, and we have to make sure that we embed what we're doing to ensure that we give that confidence levels going forward. Interestingly, I was at Confidence and Satisfaction Board at the end of last week. That is the Home Office board that looks at what we're doing, how we're delivering it, and it has APA, it has MPIA, it has all partners around the table looking at where we're going. And I challenged Home Office, because they actually think they know, or think it's to do with the pledge that we've actually had that 5 percentage point increase. But when we actually look at it, when the data's collected, the pledge wasn't ever really embedded. So what have we done? Is it a blip? Or what have we actually done? Because we need to know, because we need to do more of what works and less of what doesn't. And they've actually accepted that challenge to look at why that 5% has actually gone up. Can I assure you they'll look at it if next time it goes down 2 or 3%. Also at that meeting, a really interesting fact from MPIA. Victim satisfaction levels have stayed static in this country for the last 10 years. But in the last few months, they've suddenly had a significant rise of 4%. So we must be doing something. We really must be doing something. And we think we know what it is. Because I have to say, when I started this portfolio over 3 years ago, it was like grappling with jelly. We had little bits of an evidence base, but we didn't actually really know what works. And I'm not going to go into what works, because Andy has already alluded to it, and there's been some fantastic work, both here, plus with the Metropolitan Police, Dorset, Lancashire, and the MPIA, to pull together all the evidence that we can to try and get an emerging picture. The other thing that's changed, the policing pledge, it might look a little bit like a camel, but that's what happens when you get negotiations, and it could be changed in wording to make it better, but it does resonate with the public, and more importantly, our very cynical old, not unlike Jane, head of media and comms, and he actually asked my sergeants and inspector, expecting them to say, no, it doesn't have any effect at all, and he was knocked back off his feet when he asked them the question, and resoundingly, they said, yes, it is making a difference. So particularly for frontline staff, it's giving them a framework within which to operate and a touchstone. And importantly, it's giving a touchstone to the public as well. So it really is something that we need to develop as a service. And HMIC now being the fierce advocates of for the public are making a difference, because there are some of us that are actually motivated by wanting to make a difference and can live with the carrots. But there are some of my colleagues who need a few Rottweilers at their heels to actually galvanise them into thinking differently. And the fact that HMIC are doing mystery shopping to identify what's actually happening out there means that forces, some have done it because they want to do it, others now think, actually, we need to know what the public are seeing and feeling if we look at the service from their side inward. So I don't mind whatever tactic is used, carrots and sticks, but we actually need to get on the agenda of the public, and we're starting very much to do that. And I would like to see the figures go even higher, but indicative is it is actually working. So what are the challenges going forward? There were some rumbles around, you know, change of government likely next year, and if it's not, it will be a change of the same government if it's going to stay Labour, but there will be a change of government. So what's going to happen? The policing pledge will disappear. I've talked to the Conservatives, and we've talked to the Labour Party. The policing pledge, actually, people have forgotten, is the police services pledge. And I don't think many of us want to step away from it, because the public will say, well, another broken promise then. So actually, it is our pledge. It is here to stay. And what government's going to come in and say, we're going to do things to actually bring back and reduce confidence in public services? It ain't going to happen. So the policing pledge is here to stay, and ACPO conference endorsed that. You'll all have seen, and some of you may actually have seen the adverts, Justice Seen, Justice Done campaign is now out there and delivering for us. And most forces have actually got on the back of that and are using that to push their agenda forward. But we know from the company that's earning lots of money, Ipsos Mori, that if people know about the pledge, they're more likely to have confidence in the service, they're more likely to feel informed, and they're more likely to believe that the criminal justice system is fair. So we need to promote it. So the challenge is, how do we evolve the policing pledge? Some areas, and some around here, I understand Oldham Council is actually is held as a shining example because they've come alongside the police and they've developed their own pledge, particularly in relation to antisocial behaviour, saying, if you do this, we will do that. So the public know exactly when the cars are going to be removed, when the litter is going to be removed, and when the graffiti is going to be taken off. So it's that sort of thing that we need to, in developing our relationships, think how we can develop the pledge, particularly with partners, as this is a joint target. I have to say that when this, when the pledge was emerged, I think some of my ACPO colleagues then, and then President, and he wouldn't mind me saying it, thought this was easy, thought we were already doing it. But now once you get rubber hits the road, we realise that to deliver and to deliver, again what Andy was saying, consistently really requires much more rigour and frameworks behind it to really make that difference. We have to rebalance policing, and I think that's already going on, but you know, the silver bullet at one time was seen to be the national intelligence model. It took policing forward, it's taken us forward leaps and bounds. But in so doing, proactive patrol was seen to be the silver bullet, and we actually forgot the public. The reactive response became a little bit of a nuisance. So we do need to ensure that that rebalance happens and reblend happens, because when you look again at the national statistics, with 47% of the public believing that if we need them, they'll be there. So that's 53% who don't think we'll be there. So we really do need to listen more to what the public are saying. The other issue in relation to development that we've been looking at, and MPI have done some work for me on this, and it's about timing, but again, ACPO endorsed this at the conference last week, was around rights. It's all about people's rights, but if you want rights and you want us to deliver it consistently, surely there's something about public responsibility. And it's currently in draft. We're putting it out for consultation. But how do we balance the rights with people's responsibilities to support us in crime detection, into challenging antisocial behaviour, and being the good citizen? So there's a concept there that we're trying to look at in relation to where next. We have a new confidence route map. And it went out to all forces last Friday with a normally very long return date of this Thursday for your views in relation to what you think or whether you think there are any adjustments that can be made. It'll be a living document. It actually, it's evidence-based. It includes what we know now. So as we improve our knowledge, we can enhance it. But it's trying to give a practical tool that every officer, a member of staff who's involved in the agenda and involved in policing, actually, because that is the agenda, can use to enhance their delivery of confidence. So it really is evidence-based, it's trying to be practical, it's trying to be pragmatic, it's not reams and reams and reams, but it's out at the moment to consultation, and it will should be published, bearing in mind there might be a few amendments, in the next week or so. So look out for the confidence route map, and it will hopefully be a tool that you can use in your own forces. Similarly, there's been a lot of debate around the performance framework, and I do wonder sometimes with people saying, oh, we've only got the one measure. Actually, if you want to run a good organisation, you need to have touchstones all around it, which includes looking at data. You're not going to ever be able to deliver a first-class organisation without some form of performance management. But I would challenge, and I would challenge Merseyside and Bernard, for example, at the beginning. 94% of A-grade calls in 10 seconds is fantastic. We have a lot of tractors in Cambridge here, and we don't quite reach that, I have to say. But the more important thing, and the police service can sit back, and others would quote equally significant statistics, thinking we're doing a great job because it's 94%. But I decided to have a look, and if you look at the 6% you don't get to, if you look to actually if you're grading your A grades properly, For me, I had a head in the hands and a screaming around the field moment when I looked at those we actually weren't delivering on, because some of them were domestic violence. We were waiting for the second call before they came in. But it uncovers a whole area that many of us, because we just look at the straight stats, become complacent around. And if we start looking at that, because when I worked it out, that's probably 20,000 people over a 12-month period that we actually were delivering substandard service to, even though the headline figure looked pretty impressive. So my challenge to chiefs and my challenge to you here is go back and look at the 6%, the 3% that actually you're not achieving, because that may be your Achilles heel and may be something we need to do across the piece for delivering on confidence. It is a whole organisation issue. It's not just about neighbourhood teams. It's not just about response. And we have now got Home Office not just talking about neighbourhood teams as the face of the justice system. It is around policing in neighbourhoods, because neighbourhood teams, yes, they are the core, yes, they're fundamental to everything that goes on in a particular area. But if you need the specialists, if you need your firearms team, if you need your roads policing teams, if you need special branch and counter-terrorist officers, they come in and they visit that neighbourhood. So actually, delivering the whole service and the whole package is more than just the neighbourhood team. And we need to talk about, and they are now talking about, policing in neighbourhoods. We also need to challenge police staff to ensure that they're supporting frontline staff in delivering the best service they can deliver. And that's where the good organisations are really getting it. CID, North Hants, for example, their CID, sometimes, dare I say, the worst in actually keeping to timescales. They set their own and they deliver on their own timescales. They don't necessarily have appointment systems. Maybe they need to, and North Hants brought that in and it's making a significant difference. I will wrap in a couple of minutes, but for me the biggest issue remains culture change. And this does require leadership. I know Andy's skirted over it, but it really does require at all levels people to ensure that we have people on the ground knowing what the ethos of being in a public service is. We hear too much, and it was also mentioned at the Customer Insight seminar that MPIA ran for us. I joined to catch criminals, not to citizen focus. Can't do citizen focus and performance. We know, and Julia Hodgson from Nottinghamshire often talks about deserving and undeserving customers, where officers and staff think, well, actually, you're a little old lady, or you come from the right side of town, you're a deserving customer. You actually have hit harder times, you're not such a deserving customer. And one they will be very polite and civil to, and others they might be a little bit more offhand and short with. But we need to make sure we understand our staff, and they understand that every single member of the public requires a fair service. It is around them saying we want dignity and respect. We want to be treated with dignity and respect. And the power dynamic is really important. And the culture change goes right from recruitment through development to leaving on retirement. Do our staff join because they want to deliver public service, or do some of them actually want to exert their power over somebody else? And that's where the incivility and the loose language starts to come in. And we as leaders in the service need to understand that and ensure our training and development recruitment is around delivering public service, not about being little Hitlers. And clearly also behaviour begets behaviour. What you do, what you say is actually what the staff believe and what they will actually deliver. And two final things. Customer insight, it's been talked about this morning, some really fantastic stuff coming out of Merseyside, but elsewhere as well. We do need to have that much more sophisticated understanding of what the public think and how it changes over time, because what it is today will not be what it is tomorrow. And that's a challenge for us as a service to keep up to speed with and then develop our service around. And social media has been mentioned. We have to have conversations. And again, Merseyside gave some really good examples around how you have to have those conversations. They cannot be the way they used to be, just using the media. You have to use all different sorts of tools to connect with people. And there are good examples. And I know that I spoke to Linda, who's going to talk after lunch. But in Cambridgeshire, we have eCops, which isn't they just go to our website and look. We have 16,000 e-subscribers, and we are pushing out information to them on a regular basis. And that, I have to say, for a force that doesn't have a lot of dosh, nobody from Home Office here, so I'm not making a play, it actually is a very cheap way of keeping in contact regularly with the public. But there are lots of other really good examples, and we really do need to make sure that we're actually on the button with social media. Lots of work also being done by Simon Edens on antisocial behaviour. Real partnership efforts here. and it does require us to think about different ways of doing it and delivering it, but some really good models. If you want to manage victims, we manage victims extraordinarily well, and we need to translate that across. And child protection is a very good model to look at in the management of vulnerable victims. And MAPA and sex offenders is a really good way, and integrated offender management, of looking at how we might want to manage the offenders. We have got to get more in touch, and there's a lot of work going on currently to try and ensure we take our management of antisocial behaviour, which has been very good, to the next level, because I think post-Pilkington we all realise that we can do better. And so in finale, all I say is bring on the winning line, because I actually do think that across the country there is so much thinking about what we're trying to deliver. I do say from, you know, when I started this, it was like grappling with jelly. I see an emerging picture, and that sort of confidence satisfaction ball I was at last week was a seminal moment. It really was. I thought, yes, we're on the path. We have got so much behind us now, and I can see so much good work going on. But it's not, remember, this is a marathon, not the sprint. We have still have a way to go, and days like today are so necessary to come together, to share thinking, and to move the agenda forward. So thank you very much indeed.